I'm going to read from In the Place of Last Things. By way of setup, all you need to know is that the main character's name is Russ Littlebury, and his father has died a few weeks before the novel opens. And Russ has inherited some duties from his father. One of them takes him south into the U.S., where he finds another duty, which is to deliver a letter from a young Christian girl in Montana named Lee to her absconded lover, whose name is Jack Marks. Russ knows Marks only from Lee's stories of him, in which he comes off as sort of a manipulative and dangerous guy, and from a photograph in which Russ sees on Marks's back a small tattoo or scar or a flaw in the negative that's in the shape of a man walking, sort of like a primitive figure. It's the very shape in which Russ found his father Mike on the morning when he discovered him dead. For this and other reasons, Russ is oddly fascinated by Marks, and he tracks him down to a hotel in El Paso, Texas, and hesitates before introducing himself or meeting him. And so when we're picking this up here, we find Russ following Jack Marks in El Paso. There was the building Marks seemed to stare at in the plaza as he ate. The building said Anson Mills. Rows of windows corded into nicotine light like damp brown images hung in strips. A chemical pong in the dark held in mind and now mixed with the cheap smell from the stall of a vendor selling bags of cotton candy to the poor and their many children. Later, Russ saw him passing Stanton, where it rose sharply at the border like a seeming wave of pavement about to crest and break upon him. He moved on west, then south of Paisano along the blocks of dollar stores and places selling jeans, toys, t-shirts, caps, maps, shoes, unspecified dry goods that were recessed from the bright street in dim, unlit stalls. A moderate sidewalk traffic building with people not his kind. The trade in old gold was everywhere like a form of local worship. Yellow signs, red loans, no checks. Farther down, the streets ran empty. Russ found him staring at a composite sketch of a wanted man of indeterminate race taped to a wire fence, a rail yard beyond. He walked along the fence and was stopped short by something in the rail yard. Russ could see only a Uniglory boxcar, but when Marks had moved on, he came up to the fence to find neatly lettered upon the car the words 2-inch comp shoes and Jack here, and understood that Marks had seen his own name addressed to him, like a sign of his personal holy ground. On past the Ropa Usada shops, Marks watched the people of Juarez bathing in the river in their clothes and drying in the cold along the concrete banks and against the graffiti scrawled there. At intervals, they passed 5 Mexican-American men indifferently dressed, huddled around a car that foiled them at ignition. A wide boulevard ran mid-street. Some effort had been made to improve the character of the place. The patchy grass had been cut, the benches and tables wore many coats of deep blue. But on the wires overhead, kids had slung a dozen pairs of sneakers, and they hung by their laces as if cast from the heavens or like remnants of a great flood. The cirrus haze performed its pearl-handled sky. Russ had spent his life looking at skies. He'd never seen one like it before. When he looked back down, he saw that Marks had stopped and turned and was looking back at him, or rather through him, past him. Their eyes didn't meet, and Russ himself turned and saw then that Marks was looking beyond, at the men now pushing the car through the intersection and disappearing in complete silence. By the time Russ turned around again, Marks was gone. He saw him by chance one late afternoon at the fruit stand across from the Walgreens, sitting on a sidewalk with his back against cold stone and seeming to watch people's shadows incline towards them as they rounded the corner. In someone else, the image might make for an insight, Russ thought, but in Marks, the very word was false. Insight. The untrue heart of what a thing was called. There was nothing that Marks could see in people or in himself. He was just some opaque substance borne forward by eddying time. In the quiet minutes, the only thing a man like that felt was the weight of time against him, the physical him that hurled the shadow and the tuck he'd made in his mind that couldn't stop the time the shadow marked. Buses lined up on the north side of the plaza, Route 31, Fort Bliss via Radford. The lights stammered along Main. Marks took the northbound route. He sat at the front and didn't look up when Russ walked right past him. The bus driver told Marks the story of his Vietnam War buddy dying in hospital last year, clutching a laminated postcard of the Virgin of Guadalupe. She now rode there in the gauges. When the driver stepped off for his coffee, Marks slipped the card into his back pocket and disappeared down a side street, emerging a few minutes later, when the bus had gone on, and making his way into the Crystal Palace multiplex cinemas, where the movies were $1. Russ found him on the left side wall of a theater, showing a film that the poster outside the door suggested was about a blue-collar girl with singing aspirations. The girl worked in a foundry, setting metal into a machine that would bend it to one shape or another alongside her lifelong friend, a girl from her neighborhood. Russ recognized the lead actress but didn't know her name. She was ludicrously beautiful, a fine sweat on her as she worked. It was a genre reprised from the 80s. Movies like this had nothing to do with life. They reproduced only the experience of watching them. Marks leaned forward, crossed his arms on the seat back. In his intent expression was the man who bought grisly footage through the mail, as Lee had described in her diary. It was surprising to Russ that a feature film could reach him. Before the movie let out, Russ took a position in the foyer. He had delivered himself into some strangeness and would see it through. He dialed up the message he'd saved from Tara and listened to it over and again until the doors opened. Families passed, the kids darting ahead. There were couples, teen friends. When Marks didn't appear, he went back in. The theater was empty.